Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us right now, he's the man for The Athletic, along with Bo Wolf, doing a great job covering the Eagles and everything else in Philadelphia sports. His name is Shield Kapadia. He's been joining us on Thursdays at 3 o'clock for the football season. Shield, what's up, brother?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know what, Shield? I've never seen an Eagle fan base, and I guess I didn't expect it, but coming off a loss, they were up 14 to nothing. They were driving to take the lead with not a lot of time left, and the fan base was proud of the team the next day. There was very little screaming and yelling about the loss. They've moved on very quickly.
Not only that, but I think a story that's probably not getting enough coverage is the way the city's kind of treated Alshon Jeffrey after that. You know, Philadelphia has this reputation as being this tough town and a tough place to play. But I think what we saw is that when a guy makes what really is a physical error, and he's played hard throughout his career here, and he's delivered big plays on that stage, that's not the guy that they're going to boo and get on. You know, it's a different type of guy that they're going to get after. So that actually has not been surprising to me, but I think that's another storyline we've seen play out this week as well.
Yeah, just your thoughts on the game and how it played out, Shield. I know it's about 4 days old now. I got a chance to hear you and Bo last night with Joe Giglio, but for those who didn't get a chance to hear you guys last night, just your thoughts on how the game played out.
You know, I think they're just going to be regretting so many of the things that happened in that game. When you look at all year, we talked about how they haven't been able to get off to quick starts. You go up 14-0, and then it was seven straight drives to end the game where you don't come up with a point. And, you know, no one would have guessed that in the first quarter. You know, I know everyone loves Nick Foles. It's been an incredible 13 months for him. But the fact is, I think he missed too many throws, and this was probably one of his worst games that he's played this season there when you look at how the offensive drives played out there. And I don't have any criticism for the defense. I've heard different theories, but man, that Saints team had been held under 30 points just once at home all season. And I mean, you're putting guys like Josh Hawkins out there, you picked up Craven LeBlanc, and you're holding them to 20 points. I thought the defense really did an admirable job, but man, they had chances, I feel like, to steal that game. It wasn't going to take 34 points. It was only going to take 21 points, or maybe a little bit more if it went to overtime. And just the way the offense stalled, really, they couldn't overcome that.
Well, Shield, we spent a lot of time talking about Nick Foles, and now that it looks like most sane people would agree that he's not coming back, and you're, of course, the same person, right? He's not coming back. It's just whether or not the Eagles are able to maneuver a trade or they franchise him. Or do you agree with that?
I think that's right. Yeah, I actually would be surprised if they franchised him. There are a lot of obstacles there. I think what they'll do is the team will exercise the option, and then it's obvious it's a mutual option. So Nick Foles pays them back $2 million, buys his way into free agency. There's a chance they're able to trade him at some point. I still think the most likely scenario is that he'll probably leave without a trade, and you'll get that compensatory pick, which will be a third rounder in next year's draft.
So, and I agree with you, and I do think it'll be hard to trade just because teams know the Eagles don't have a lot of leverage, especially once they put a one-year, $25 million franchise tag on. It just doesn't seem like something that is going to happen. But let me ask about Carson Wentz itself. I didn't think Carson had a great year. I know the stats. I know the injuries. I know the team around them didn't, quote-unquote, necessarily play well, especially earlier in the season when he came back. So when we ask this question, are you just as confident in Carson as you were when he went down last season, or are you a little less sure of what he is now? I'm a little less sure about Carson Wentz. I still think he's going to be a good quarterback. I don't think you're going to have to look for another franchise quarterback, but I also don't know if he's this perennial MVP-type player that I thought that we had going forward.
I think that's probably fair, and the way I would describe it is after last season, I would have said with the utmost confidence, this guy is going to be a top three quarterback for years to come. And now, a year later, I still think that's very possible, that outcome. There's no doubt about it, but I think it's a wider range of outcomes. And so if you ask me, you know, what would be my most confident statement, I would probably say that Carson Wentz is going to be a top 7, 8, 9 quarterback for years to come. And obviously he has to stay healthy, and there are so many variables that go into it. But I would say my confidence is a little bit lower. I still believe in the guy. He's got all the tools physically, mentally. He did just complete only his third year, so there's a lot of good football to come. But I think it's fair to say, especially with the durability issues, if your sort of confidence in him goes down a little bit after what we've seen the past year.
When you look at this weekend, Shiel, what do you think about the game Sunday?
You know what? As I was walking out of the Superdome there, I thought to myself, this has to be Andy's year. It is set up for him. I feel like there's no juggernaut out there. I feel like the Chiefs are the best team. And so I think a lot of people, you know, around the league, especially and especially obviously in Philadelphia, will be rooting for the Chiefs and Andy to take down the Patriots. I think they've got a really good shot to do that and to win the Super Bowl. And then on the NFC, I'm kind of split, to be quite honest. You know, I didn't think the Saints played a great game last week by any means. I don't think their offense has looked the same, really, in the last month. And so, you know, it's tough to beat them in that environment at home. At any point, they could put up 35, 40 points. The Rams do not have a good run defense, but I do think the Rams have a shot to go in there and steal that game.
Yeah,
I do too.
For me in the NFC, if the Rams had home field, I would probably pick the Rams, but the Saints, I don't know how Jared Goff's going to react to being in that Superdome. And they ran the ball really well with both backs last week, so maybe that's the key to it.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that running game, Drew Brees on the sideline for most of that game, and I'm thinking it's a rematch of the best game of the year when it was 54-51, L.A. Rams over the Chiefs. That's the rematch in the Super Bowl, man. And Andy gets his first ring.
Yeah, no, it very well could be, and I agree with you. Yeah, I think the Rams will go in there trying to run the ball and then take some shots deep. You know, the Eagles were not as successful throwing the ball downfield as I thought they were going to be. The Saints defense, you know, they did certainly show up, but that's been kind of a vulnerability of theirs all year long. They give up a lot of explosive plays, so I don't think it's going to be any crazy game plan from the Rams. I think you run the football, play action,
Take shots.
Some shots deep and see if you can steal it that way.
Yes, and Shiel Kapati of The Athletic. You're not, and by the way, if Nick plays even a little bit better of a game, they may beat. You're right. That was the worst game Nick played all year. It really that you can remember since last year. He was just off. He was off high. He was wide. There were a couple third down throws. He did the same thing in Chicago, really. He was off.
I mean, you watch the film of that interception he threw to Zach Ertz, and if there's a throw that's going to keep him up at night, I mean, Ertz ran a beautiful route. He had the corner feet. That's going to be a 25, 30, 40-yard play, and he just underthrew him, and that turns into an interception. So, you know, then the whole game changed, it felt like, after that moment. But, yeah, you know, I think you probably got a C performance from Nick Foles, and I thought going in you were going to need an A+. You didn't need an A+. Really, if you would have got a B+,
you
I
win.
Think you probably win that game, which is the tough part to swallow, I think. For the Eagles.
Shiel, we look forward to talking in the offseason because there's obviously a lot of moving parts and a lot of things to talk about. But I want to ask you about one name before we go. Well, actually, two names. Chance of Jason Peters coming back. Under contract, has a direct line to the owner, right? The owner and Jason Peters text. Last time they were going in to try to ask for more money back, he got an extension. I believe Jason Peters isn't here next year when Jason Peters isn't here next year. What do you think?
I kind of agree. You know, I think from a business perspective, if you feel like Vitae can give you even mediocre offensive line play, then at the price you're paying him, maybe it makes sense to move on. But the sense I get from the organization is that if Jason Peters wants to be back, I have a feeling that they're probably going to bring him back and say, you know what, it's not a crazy contract that he's on. We can sort of piece it together. If he gets injured, we have a replacement plan. But, I would probably lean towards him coming back next year and playing one more year at least. It's crazy. I mean, you can't count on him. He has
so many
games, and he's been injured. I tend to agree. I feel like if you're the old school Eagles and you're making a business decision and looking at it and removing emotion, I think the move is to let him go and move on. But I don't know. Everything they tell you know, everything
well, was this year
out
too.
Of the building is different. Yeah.
If you're going to move on from this year, right?
Yeah. I
And then Khalil Mack happened too, Shiel. He dominated him in that game.
Yeah, but he also gave up a sack to Leonard Floyd in that game. I'm just telling you, we all the sentimental stuff, hold on a year too long as opposed to getting rid of a guy a year early. You 37-year-old left tackles. And then when Carson gets injured because he gave up a sack, it'll be Carson held onto the ball
too long. Exactly right.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I think
that's true. And even that going up against Khalil Mack, I mean, that game, they were doing a lot of different things, whether it was double teams or moving the pocket. So that game was not Jason Peters shutting down Khalil Mack. I think his play definitely slipped this year, and I think he's still a decent player, but I mean, you can't count on him to stay healthy at this stage in his career.
All right, quick answer. Percentage that Brandon Graham's back with the Eagles next year. I know he was giving everybody hugs, and it was if you've been around Brandon Graham, you're very fond of him. We did shows with him for 2 years. He's a great dude. He's a great Eagle. We know what he did in the Super Bowl. What are the chances he comes back next year?
I'll say 35%. I think there's going to be a team out there that needs a pass rusher and a team that's going to be willing to pay him more than the Eagles are going to pay him.
I tend to agree with you there. Shield Capati of The Athletic. If you don't already check him out, make sure that you do. Follow him on Twitter, and the coverage is amazing on The Athletic. Shield, as always, thank you. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There he is, Shield Capati. Yeah, I on the BG thing, I agree, because I can just speak from my perspective. If I just got a new job as a head coach, or I just got a defensive coordinator's job, and they said, well, who do you want to bring in? I look at Brandon Graham and I say, I already know what he's going to be off the field, in the locker room, a leader, everything else. And then you're just more or less looking at, well, what's his play going to be like on the field? He'll be fine for a couple of years. He'll be a good player. And he's not going to get paid like an elite defensive end.
He won't be back here. There's going to be somebody out there that's going to value his experience, his championship play, and going to pay him. And that's going to be more than what the Eagles want to pay him. The Eagles want him back on their price, which is as low as possible.
Right.
And why would Brandon come back for that? So, Kansas City is going to lose Dee Ford more than likely as a defensive end. You know, the Dallas Cowboys may lose DeMarcus Lawrence as a defensive end.
Oh,
he's coming off a franchise tag. I mean, all you got to do is give Brandon more than what the Eagles are willing to give him. It ain't like you got to give Brandon $30 million.
Giants are still running a 4-3,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Oh, hell
the Giants
no.
are running 4-3. So these are the teams that are going to know Brandon the best, teams that play against him on a regular basis. A guy like Andy, who drafted him, who knows him. And if Andy's going to lose a guy like Dee Ford because they don't want to pay him top-notch free agent money, you bring a guy in like Brandon on a two-year deal. You give him $10 million guaranteed, $15 million guaranteed.
Right, it's $8 million a year.
Yeah.
You guarantee most of it.
Yeah, he's going to go take that. It's his last deal.
Yeah.
It's his last deal. He's going to go take that. The only way he's coming back here is if no other team wants to give him
a
deal.
That's not going to happen.
Yes.
That's not going to happen.
Not for a pass rushing in.
Nah, people know Brandon Graham. What, the sacks are without the sacks this year.
He's only 31.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got another...
At least two or three.
Two, three quality starter years left.
He's been healthy. He don't miss games.
No, he doesn't.
Doesn't miss games.
All right, 888-729-9494. Coming up next, get back to the phones.
BG.
The audio of Alshon Jeffrey going into this classroom, they tricked the kids into thinking they were going to FaceTime with him. Okay. So they all have their Eagle stuff on, thinking they're going to FaceTime with him.
Yeah.
And Alshon goes busting in the door.
So, that is cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
And that's where we are today. We're tricking them with FaceTime.
There you go.
Yeah, that's today. It's technology today.
I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this the other day. I remember when I was 16 years old, I drove down the shore in my 4-speed stick on 95. No cell phones or anything like that. I don't even know if I called my mom and said I got there. Could you imagine doing that today?
Oh, man, you can't go down the street without calling somebody, man.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.